Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. Two for one, no concern for the future. Living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow, mad cow, line dance song.
Hey, Sun Guy Nation, welcome to the show here on another Friday afternoon. QT and Sun Guy with you like usual here on Friday. Some show note, if you're looking for some wrestling over the next couple of days. Tonight, WCWO in Indianapolis, as usual at the Outlaw Arena. You have FSW in Las Vegas, Nevada. PSW in Piedmont, Alabama. CPW in Tulsa, Oklahoma. You have RCW in San Antonio, Texas. And tonight, you have in Seattle, here in our neck of the woods, 3-2-1 battle, as well as Defy Wrestling. Two choices tonight in Seattle. And if you're looking for wrestling tomorrow, you have in our neck of the woods, Woo America in Bremerton at Pablo Nita's, OVW in Louisville, Kentucky, and you have EWF in Chattanooga, Tennessee. That is the normal show in Jeffersonville, Indiana. It got moved due to situations beyond their control. You have SWE in Lakeland, Georgia, PWA in Springfield, Georgia, SICW in East Carbondale, Illinois, TSW in Vincennes, Indiana, UWE in Cadillac, Michigan, ICW in Ottawa, Kansas, EWF in Forest City, North Carolina, APW in Laredo, Texas, PWA in Lancaster, Ohio, and DCW in Camden, Delaware. And right now, we have a guest on with us. He is helping us out today. We had a last-minute family situation with our scheduled guest. He has jumped in to help us out. Our guest from Wrestle Club, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah. Just wanted to say it's Damian Black.
Well, Damian Black, I want to thank you for being with us here today. It's your first time with us, as a matter of fact. And to start things off, we're going to ask you our first-timer's question. What got you into the business of professional wrestling?
Well, started a real, real long time ago when I was just a little one. My parents decided to drop me off on the side of the road. And I lived and survived in the swamps of Louisiana. And I was taken in by a man who showed me everything I needed to know about wrestling. Watched it in the golden era of Hulk Hogan, the Ultimate Warrior, Jake the Snake. And ever since, I've just... it's been there, and that is who I am.
You, like I mentioned, are out of Wrestle Club there in Idaho, and Wrestle Club is doing a lot of great things. They have really grown a lot since they started and since you started working for them. What's it been like working for a company that has grown so much over such a short span?
What's it been like? Well, it's definitely been mayhem. It's definitely been some chaos.
Now, speaking of mayhem, Project Mayhem has been on a tear through Wrestle Club over the last couple of years. They have really wrecked things there at Wrestle Club for a lot of the wrestlers, for the commissioner. What's it been like seeing exactly how much mayhem that Project Mayhem can get away with there in Wrestle Club?
Well, I'll put it this way, just to let your listeners understand, I hold two of the three different titles in Wrestle Club, the potato belt and the tag team belts, with my partner Brad Zane, the Puppet Master, who you've had as a guest on your show. I have to say that it's been quite fun causing mayhem and taking everything that Wrestle Club enjoys and wants and showing them what somebody who can really do with it.
You've been collecting titles, like you said, for a while now, and for someone that doesn't have the years in the business, as a lot of people do, to have so many titles at your stage of your career is very impressive. When you won that very first championship and you were the owner of that belt for the very first time, what was going through the mind of Damian Black as he looked down at that belt?
What was going through the mind of Damian Black when I got, correct me if I'm wrong, the potato belt?
Yeah.
Or the tag team belts, because I'm a three-time tag team champion.
Well, when you won the very first one that you ever captured, what was going through the mind?
What was going through my mind? Oh, the bloody carnage that I caused with a former tag team partner, Chaz Bedlam, when I put Garibay through a ladder. So I'd say that I was disgustingly happy. And ever since then, I haven't stopped.
Now, we always hear from guests that tell us that tag team wrestling is a different entity than singles wrestling as far as preparation, as far as the mindset during the match, as far as what they need to do to succeed. You do both, singles and tag team. Have you personally found that to be the case, or do you go into every match with the same exact mindset?
Well, when it comes to Damian Black, there's not much of a difference when it comes to mindset. But I'd have to say I agree. Tag team champion matches, tag team matches in general, are definitely a different mindset, because not only am I thinking of which way I can hurt the man that's in the ring, but which way I can get his partner in and abuse him.
Now, Wrestle Club has been on television for nearly a year now on broadcast television in Idaho, and I'm sure that with that type of exposure to the product, people see you and recognize you away from the wrestling arena now, because Wrestle Club is seen by so many different people all over that state. What's it been like getting attention from fans when you're away from the arena and people recognize you from the television?
Well, I'd have to tell you, I don't really adventure out. I don't mingle with these mundane crowds of people. I tend to stay on my own, and I train day in and day out. So I haven't had much experience when it comes to the heathens out there.
I want to
addition to television for a little bit longer than that you've been on television, Wrestle Club has been featured in Pro Wrestling Illustrated, oftentimes having their results published in that. PWI is still the largest professional wrestling magazine in existence today. What's it like when you pick up a copy of PWI and you turn through the pages and there's the listings of matches you've competed in staring right back at you?
I'd have to say it's a little bit of nostalgia. I mean, when growing up and seeing these wrestlers and seeing them in the magazines and seeing them on TV, and now my corruption is everywhere.
Now, when you first got into professional wrestling, everyone has different goals. Would you say that getting into PWI and being seen on television were two of the goals going into it, or were these things that happened and were just bonuses from the original goals you had set?
I would have to say that they're bonuses. Bonuses that people who don't hang around in this little dinky Idaho state get to know who I am.
Now, you and your partner, like we said, have been tag team champions for a while. And I'm sure people saw this on television and they heard about it. They've probably seen it on the YouTubes. But Project Mayhem had a match, and it involves someone I've been in the ring with many times. I've battled this man all over the country. Darth Carter was your opponent for a match. I don't know how he even got a booking at Wrestle Club. It baffles my mind. But you did battle with him. What was it like for you slaughtering that idiot Darth Carter?
What was it like? It was like throwing a rag doll on its head. It was a good time. He gave a spunk, and to elaborate on how he got booked, I have no clue, because those punk ghetto boys get booked somehow as well. And apparently he's a family member, maybe distant relative. That's the only
thing.
That
was what I heard. Now, I was busy at the time. I was in the locker room studying the official Wrestle Club rule book so I could be well versed in the rules of the company. He slipped in the back door or something. I never saw him there until I heard about it after the fact. Was this your first time wrestling that idiot Darth Carter? And if so, were you aware that I believe there is still to this day a bounty on his head, anyone that can end the career of Darth Carter?
I wasn't aware of Odin Bounty. Might have to get him back over here. I wasn't aware of the booking of Darth Carter being in the match. I just knew we were going against the punk ghettos.
Yeah, he might be a distant relative to the punk ghettos for sure. He kind of seemed similar in stature as well as style from the video that I saw afterwards.
Yes, I would agree.
Now, one of the things that I really enjoy about Wrestle Club is they go all over Idaho and they wrestle in a variety of different towns at a variety of different venues. And they always attach a charitable cause to their shows. They're always wrestling to help raise funds for a variety of different charities that makes them pretty unique as far as independent companies and what they do for the community. When you look at Wrestle Club's mission statement, you see that one of the goals is always to help charities whenever they go out there, no matter which town it is, no matter which venue. What do you think that says about Wrestle Club as a company and as a performer for them when you know that every time out you're helping raising funds for those that need it?
What do I think about that? Well, that they're soft. But, I mean, somebody's got to help them because they can't do it themselves.
Fair enough, fair enough. Now, since Wrestle Club has found what many independent promotions has found, that as long as you have enough space to fit a ring and some chairs, you can usually put wrestling about any place. Wrestle Club has been in a variety of venues, both outdoor and indoor, and I'm sure some of those have been very interesting as far as where you've gone to wrestle. What would you say has been the most unique location where you've wrestled?
The most unique. Oh, let me tell you. It was right in front of the state capitol in negative 10 degrees or better when I wrestled the Lost Soul Garibay for the New Year's potato drop here in Idaho.
Now, I am familiar with this practice that Wrestle Club does. They go out there New Year's and they wrestle in very, very cold conditions. Not a lot of people outside of the Wrestle Club fan base is going to do it. Maybe some of the competitors at NSA in Alaska would not mind it so much. But when you guys go out there and it's that cold, do you have any special problems that you have to overcome as opposed to a standard show where it's not negative 10 degrees?
Yeah, freezing to death. That's about it, just being cold. But I tell you, the anger, the aggression, I don't really seem to have much problems.
Now, compared to a normal show, how many of the people dump a bottle of water on their head and or apply liberal amounts of baby oil?
On the roster?
Yes.
Oh, I wouldn't, I don't really know. I speak to the faces, and, you know, usually those pretty boys are the ones that want to shine and be pretty for their adoring little fans.
Fair enough. Now, Wrestle Club has, like we said, grown quite a bit, and so has the skill levels of many of the roster. A lot of the roster is starting to branch out a little bit. A number of the competitors have gone to promotions across the Northwest and down into Nevada. Project Mayhem is a top team there and would probably fit on any roster in the country that I've ever seen. Would it be a goal of Project Mayhem to go to a few of the other promotions in the region and test yourselves against those teams, or are you content to stay closer to home with Wrestle Club?
Well, I'm never content. I've never been satisfied with just the measly little belts that I have now. And I've had talks with a partner of mine about going out of state and finding some different sacrifices, if you will. And at some point, yes, we will push Project Mayhem out of just Idaho.
Sounds good. Now, I believe you've also hit Oregon as well, Russell Club has. Am I correct there?
Yes. We go there for the Border Town Comic-Con the last 2 years, I want to say.
Well, already Russell Club in two different states. Not a ton of independent companies can claim that, actually. So definitely a feather in the cap for Russell Club. Now, one of the statistics for you that has come out of 2018 for Wrestle Club, you are, like you mentioned, the first dual champ in Wrestle Club history. One of the titles is the Potato Bowl Championship. We touched on it briefly. We have talked about this title before in our program with various other competitors. But can you fill the fans in on exactly what the Potato Bowl Championship is and what it means to you?
Well, my interpretation of the gold is pretty much simple. It is what represents Idaho. It is figuratively the WWE's state championship belt, but for a single state, not just the U.S. And
to the best of my knowledge, potatoes are grown all over the United States in every state.
Yeah, but from what I know, Idaho's known for the famous potatoes.
No disputing that, for sure. Well, at this point in time, my co-host QT is standing by, and I'm sure he has some questions for you. So, Thez, help you as I pass things along to QT folks for a bit.
All right, I'm here.
Hello, Damien.
Hi.
Damien, sorry about that. Time travel has often been used in plots in Hollywood movies, such as the Philadelphia Experiment, and it was also a subject that had been hinted at on the famous podcast Total Dudes with Sanjay and Rex, with JoJo, the time-traveling mole. What if Andre the Giant could time travel? Would he be most comfortable on the show The Facts of Life, Good Times, or Three's Company, in your opinion, Andre the Giant?
Andre the Giant. What he would be comfortable with. Three's Company.
Oh, okay. Do you think he would react very well with Jack Tripper or Chrissy? Better.
I'd have to say Chrissy.
Okay. Now, Damien, I know that you're a little bit younger, especially with myself and kind of like Sanjay. You may not know what I'm talking about when I mention Good Times or The Facts of Life. Am I kind of overestimating this, or have you seen yourself Good Times or The Facts of Life on Nick at Night?
I'd have to say I haven't. I didn't really have much television to mess with at a younger age.
Oh, okay. So you haven't seen Good Times or Facts of Life?
No.
Damn.
Yeah.
Okay. I wonder why you chose. No wonder why you chose these companies.
Indeed.
With Jack Tripper. Oh, okay. Now, I was going to say, would Andre the Giant be more comfortable on the set of Green Acres, Monday Night Football with Dandy Don Meredith and Howard Cosell are Gunsmoke. Once again, I will ask you the question, have you ever seen Green Acres on TV?
No.
Oh, come on! Maybe we should have had Coach Jones fill in. He would have known what Green Acres was. Okay. Well, I guess you don't know who I'm talking about, Dandy Don Meredith on Monday Night Football?
No, not really. I don't like football.
Oh, okay. All right, Howard Cosa. Okay, we'll go on to the subjects of comedy. If Andre the Giant could time travel, would he be more comfortable on the set of Blazing Saddles, The Bad News Bears, or Airplane?
The Blazing Saddle.
Oh, okay. Now, just for our record, have you seen the movie Airplane or Bad News Bears, the original Bad News Bears?
No, I've barely seen the Burning Saddle, the Saddle. Nah.
Okay, and you haven't seen Airplane?
No.
Oh, come on! Airplane, the all-time classic with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in the cockpit?
I'd have to say no. I stated previous, I did a lot of training. I don't really, I don't know, I survived for a good 5 years out on my own.
Oh, okay. Well, I will have Sign Guy send you a YouTube clip of Airplane with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in the cockpit. Oh, and just by the way, do you know who Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is?
Do I know who it is?
Yes.
No.
Oh, well, he was an all-star center who played at UCLA from 1969 to 1973. He was a 7 foot one center. He often did battle with Wilt Chamberlain. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is known for his sky hook, and he is the all-time points leader in the NBA, in the history of the NBA, and he had a part in the movie Airplane. I think you will like this part, and Sign Guy will send you a clip of his role in Airplane.
All right.
And you will also probably be sent the clip. Hopefully, Sign Guy will come through with this, and he'll send you the immortal line that in Hollywood history, Shirley, you can't be serious. I am serious, and don't call me Shirley. Okay, well, to get on with Blazing Saddles, you seem to know this movie very well. Why do you think Andre would be most comfortable in that? And what scene would Andre the Giant excel at, in your opinion?
Well, the only reason why I said Andre the Giant would be good in that one is because he's extraordinarily tall. And, you know, most Westerns, yeah, you don't really have tall people. And, I mean, his job in that movie, what is it? Princess something or other?
Princess Bride.
You might
think of it like, yes.
The Princess Bride. Okay,
yes,
well,
we did very well acting with a rock.
I'm going to say Andre would probably be most comfortable when he was outside the saloon and he punched a horse.
Yes.
Another scene in that movie was, of course, the famous scene around the campfire when they were eating a lot of beans. I think Andre would be comfortable in that. Yes.
That seems like it'd be a very good one for him.
Or maybe when he was riding into town on an ox. like one. No, it was a longhorn steer. Yes, longhorn steer.
Yes, like Paul Bunyan.
Or maybe when he was in the saloon and he had all those cowboys pinned against the wall and he was leaning against the piano. That would also be a good Andre scene.
I'd have to agree with that as well.
All right. Well, how about voice animation for Andre the Giant? Do you think he would be most successful at a voice appearance on The Simpsons or South Park or Family Guy?
It's kind of a mix-up. I'd have to say The Simpsons or Family Guy.
Okay, Simpsons or Family Guy. If he were to make an appearance after time traveling, like JoJo the Traveling Mole on Total Dudes with Sun Guy and Rex, on The Simpsons, do you think he would most be successful at interacting with Apu, the convenience store worker, Mrs. Krabostel, Bart's teacher, or Grandpa Simpson?
Grandpa Simpson.
Oh, okay. Now, why did you choose Grandpa Simpson over Apu and the Quickie Mart?
Well, because I feel like he would be like that. He'd help Grandpa Simpson out because, you know, being all nice and such as he is.
Oh, well, I got to tell you. Now, Andre, if he didn't like you, he made you know this fact. Now, he made it known clearly to Big John Studd, the Macho Man Randy Savage, and the Iron Sheik that he didn't like them right away. In fact, he just plainly stood on the Iron Sheik's back, and he gave Randy Savage one of the hardest knife edge chops I've ever seen. And you know what happened with Big John Studd. What makes you think he could instantly get along with Grandpa Simpson as opposed to Big John Studd and the Iron Sheik and Randy Savage?
Because of Grandpa Simpson's personality.
Oh, okay.
Grumpy old man.
Are you saying that he would probably get along with Grandpa Simpson's forthrightness and his ability, also Grandpa Simpson, to speak his mind? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, as you know, Frenchmen and Indians, which Apu is from the country, from the nation of India, don't always get along. So is that why you based your opinion that he probably begin to get along better with Grandpa Simpson than Apu, Indians and Frenchmen?
Yes.
I see. Very good. Okay. Now let's take the situation of South Park. What character do you think Andre the Giant would get along best with? Would it be Randy Marsh, Mr. Mackey, the third grade school teacher, or Timmy, the wheelchair boy?
I'd have to go with Timmy.
Oh, Timmy, the Lord. And is it because Timmy belonged in a band called the Lords of the Underworld?
No, more because he could help Timmy around. I mean, Timmy couldn't walk. South Park's not really my forte. I don't watch it.
Oh, okay. Now, Andre the Giant was known to get along with kids, and especially kids with a little bit of handicaps. How do you think Andre the Giant would have fit into the band? Because they had a drummer and a bass player who was notoriety mellow, and of course, the singer, Timmy.
I don't think he'd be in the band, but he might be the band's fan, like a number one fan for Timmy.
Okay. Number one fan. Okay. I was going to say Andre would probably be very good at the keyboards at the Lords of the Underworld. Yes. Keyboards.
I could see that very well.
All right. Okay. Now, you didn't pick Randy Marsh, the geologist. Why do you think Andre would pick Timmy over Randy Marsh, the geologist? Is it because at one point Randy Marsh had a heroin problem?
Yeah, because, you know, well, Andre the Giant was such a good, nice guy. I mean, he looked like a teddy bear, but if you pissed him off, he'd hurt you. The big old paws. I mean, he couldn't be seen with his facade of being this great person with somebody who's been involved with heroin.
Okay, the smack, okay, and the Bolivian marching powder. Wait a second, that's cocaine. Okay, very good. All right. And you didn't pick Mr. Mackey. Is it because for the longest time, Mr. Mackey was a closet homosexual?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. And how about the Family Guy? You didn't pick among these three people, who would Andre most likely get along with? Lois Pudersmith Griffin, the chicken that Peter has long fights with, or Quagmire?
I'd have to say Lois.
Lois Pudersmith Griffin. Okay, the reason for your choice?
Well, I think you'd be too scared to crush the little chicken. And Quagmire's just, you know, way out in left field, where I don't think that's really where Andre the Giant would want to roam.
I see. Well, you know, I think deep down inside, Andre would admire the fact that Quagmire is an airline pilot. However, Quagmire is a bit of a sexual deviant along the lines with Macho Man Randy Savage, from what I hear. Yes. Not really a sexual deviant, but he was controlling of the women he was with, the Macho Man. And Quagmire, well, I don't think he gives too much. He just pumps and dumps them, pretty much. Pumps and dumps, yes.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right, so you are going pretty much with your choices. Lois Pudersmith Griffin, Timmy with the Lords of the Underworld, and Grandpa Simpson. Very good choices.
Thank you.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Damien, you said you were dropped off by the side of the road in the swamp area of Louisiana early in life. To the best of your knowledge, was it anywhere near the former site of the movie scene Waterboy with Adam Sandler?
That floozy movie? No. No.
Oh.
It was deep down, somewhere dark. I'm not even sure. I was too young to know what was what and where.
Wow. All right. Okay. Maybe it was by that town, Thibodaux, Louisiana. Thibodaux.
Possibly.
Okay. Well, Damien, on the movie Interview with a Vampire, Kristen Dunst plays the role of Claudia, the girl vampire who slit Brad Pitt's throat, who played the vampire Lewis. When Lewis came back from his slit throat to his estate in Louisiana, he explained to Claudia and Lestat that he survived on swamp water, toads, snakes, and mosquitoes. Was this like your first year after your parents dropped you off?
You know, that brings some bad memories. And I got to tell you, yeah, I mean, some of that true. I mean, it's a movie, partially fiction. You know, I had to roast frogs. I ate snakes, alligator, whatever I can get my hands on. And, you know, the water, I had to learn. I was sick for months trying to figure out how to drink water that wasn't purified.
I see. Would you say this early diet made you the tough wrestler that you are today?
That and my beliefs. Because as I was out there, I learned a few things here and there from a man who, well, let's just say, wants blood.
I see. Well, now I've tasted deep fried alligator, and that's pretty good. It tastes like chicken. Yes. Okay. All right. Well, Sangai mentioned that there was a bounty on Darth Carta's head. What if Darth Carta were to time travel to New Mexico back in the 1870s and early 1880s? Would he himself be caught up in the same bounty hunt by Sheriff Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid?
Well, that dummy, if he went back in that time, I'd have to probably say so, because he'd probably stick his nose into something he really shouldn't have.
I see. What do you think Billy the Kid's reaction would be if he were riding along and he glanced over and saw Darth Carta on a very big Shetland pony?
He would probably have some dysentery issue.
He would have a what?
Some dysentery issue.
Ah, I see, I see. Okay, very good. Now, I believe Billy the Kid died at the age of 21, and there is only one known photograph of him taken on a tin plate. You know, how those very early photography shoots. Yes,
mm-hmm.
Only one picture. In your opinion, or have you heard the rumors that there is only one picture of Darth Carta without his mask, and it's a side view? Have you heard of this?
I haven't, but if I could get that picture, maybe I can find Darth Carta and get that bounty.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Well, Damien, can you tell us if you're in action this week? And will time travel be involved?
Well, I won't be in action this week, but come December 31st, I'm going to be right in front of that state capitol again.
Wow, all right. Can you tell us maybe or give us a hint of your New Year's resolutions?
Well, that one's kind of simple. It's to finish my collection of Wrestle Club Gold.
Oh, okay. Well, I hope that one of your resolutions will be to watch the movie Airplane in full after watching a clip of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in the cockpit that Sangai will send you. That would be very important.
I think I'll do that.
Oh, okay. And while you're at it, you might yourself look on YouTube and watch the interactions on Monday Night Football between Dandy Don Meredith and Howard Cosell.
That's, you know, maybe. I really don't care for football.
Oh, okay. Well, at this time, I am going to turn it back over to Sangai. And if you ever do time travel, I hope you elbow Andre the Giant out of the way and you yourself become a member of Timmy and Lords of the Underworld. Yes.
Oh, indeed.
Oh, okay. Back to you, Sangai.
Thank you, QT. Well, Damien, like we touched on earlier, you do both tag team and singles wrestling. Do you have a personal preference for doing one over the other?
Well, Sangai, I'd have to say no, because I was brought up in this wrestling industry on tag team matches, and there's just no real preference, because it doesn't matter who or how many I face, I'm still going to lay him down for the 1-2-3.
Now, speaking of 1-2-3, you've worked with a number of referees and officials there at Wrestle Club over the years. They've had a few very promising young referees out there that are doing very well, as well as some veteran referees. Matt Manor springs to mind immediately. Who would you say are some of the better referees that you've been in a ring with so far?
Ones that do what I want. But I'd
have
to
say,
all right. I've had sign guy ref a match. I've had Matman and a select guys from the actual staff of Wrestle Club. I can't really say that there's a better one or not. But I can tell you the worst one.
Do tell.
The worst one would have to be the dumb CEO, Patrick Holloway.
Patrick Holloway actually signs my paychecks. I can't imagine he was that horrible as a referee.
Okay. Well, when you start pinning a man for the 1-2-3, when they're on their belly, I don't know if you should be reffing.
Yeah, that's a little sketchy. I've only seen that happen once. That was a long night when that happened.
Indeed it was.
Now, in addition to the referee, one of the more underrated roles in professional wrestling is that of the ring announcer. You happen to have a very good one over there in Wrestle Club, a couple of them, as a matter of fact. I know you've been on shows, and announcing has been something that keeps the fans into the show between matches and so forth, or if there's a lull in the action or an intermission. How would you say that the ring announcing there in Wrestle Club has been as a key component of the overall success?
Well, it's an overall key point of success because, well, they hype up the little good guy, and then they bring me out to destroy him. So I'd say that their success was good. They do what they need to do.
Looking at the landscape of professional wrestling as a whole, I think that independent wrestling might be the hottest it has ever been. There's so many companies getting on television, drawing really good houses, making money, selling lots of merchandise. When you look at the overall landscape of independent wrestling as a whole, how do you think wrestling compares now to any time in history of independent wrestling?
I'd have to say growing up, I never knew about the independent scene. So I always thought like wrestlers had to go and train, and they only went to the WWE or the WCW or the ECW. So when I joined wrestling as a full-time wrestler, it's amazing how much the talent can come out and do what we need to do.
Now, speaking of WCW, there is still a member of that roster in the Northwest. He's not terribly far away from Wrestle Club, and he does do a lot of local shows still to this day, causing all kinds of havoc whenever he appears. I'm speaking of Kevin Sullivan. Is Kevin Sullivan someone that is on your radar, either as a future opponent,
or possibly as a mentor or tag partner?
Oh, yeah. Let me tell you, that man right there would be the man that I would come to for mentoring. I've been taught many, many things by the trainers here, but to learn from Kevin Sullivan would be grand.
Now, I believe that one of the Wrestle Club members, King Marcus Anderson, actually two of them, because Russell Garibay as well, have been on shows with Kevin Sullivan in the past. Have you ever tried to pick their brains a little bit and get some of the knowledge that he shared with them?
Oh, yeah. I spoke to the King, Marcus Anderson. He's given me some good insights. Now, I don't really associate myself too much with the Lost Soul because, you know, he has what I want and he's just not my click.
Well, hopefully we will see Project Mayhem and Kevin Sullivan come together at some point in 2019. I think that would be very interesting to see. A lot of people might be surprised to learn that Kevin Sullivan was actually a very, very successful amateur wrestler before he ever got into the professionals. We've seen a lot of professional wrestlers have very good collegiate backgrounds, some of them even Olympic backgrounds, with guys like Danny Hodge, Kurt Angle, Brock Lesnar, Shelton Benjamin, Chad Gable, just to name a few. Who would you say has been the most successful amateur wrestler to ever cross over into professional wrestling?
Oh, that's a hard one. That's a real, real hard one because there's some good oldies and there's some good new ones. I'd have to say one that's maybe currently rostered or in relevancy today would have to be, as for much as I don't like the man, Brock Lesnar. I forget his last name. It's Bruno San Martino, I think his name is.
Yes.
Yes, he was a great one as well.
Also true, a lot of people forget he was an amateur wrestler before getting into professional. Well, Damian Black, we're down to the last few minutes of the show, and I want to give that time to you. If there's anything you would like to say to the listeners today, plug and promote absolutely anything you want, upcoming appearances, social medias, merchandise, your favorite bakery, anything in the world, the floor is all yours.
Well, first and foremost, if you haven't seen us, come to Wrestle Club. Watch us on TV, Channel 64, Cable 1, if you're local. We're on the Roku as well, so go in, click on that, get searching the Wrestle Club, and watch for days Damian Black beating the tar out of every single person on the roster. And if you haven't been able to make it before, come this year, the December 31st, you're in for a treat. Potato drop. 3 p.m. And sail into the black.
Well, Damian Black, it has been an absolute pleasure having you on the show today. I want to thank you for taking the time to be with us today on short notice, and I look forward to seeing you again the next time I hit Wrestle Club.
Thank you.
Fans, if you're unfamiliar with Damian Black, familiarize yourself with him. he, as well as Brad Zane, Project Mayhem, a great tag team. They would fit in on any roster in the country for sure. They could hang with anybody. He's beating up that idiot Darth Carter, which automatically gives him points in my view. So get out there, search him out on the Roku Wrestle Club, an absolutely fantastic promotion. I can't say enough good things about them. They are continuing to grow, always put out a top-notch product. So support that company as well as Damian Black himself. We will be back with you Sunday afternoon. Stuart Kemp going to be joining us. Anyone that's been to a show in the last 30 years or so in the Pacific Northwest most likely has seen Stuart Kemp at some point. He will be on with us to talk all matters of pro wrestling. So definitely tune in then, and we will see you on Sunday afternoon.